Grace to you on this second week of Lent from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to begin today with a vision that God gave to John of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you could see spiritually, this is reality and truth. So I ask you to picture it then in your minds, even as I read it. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, John says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name inscribed which no one knows but himself. He is clad in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, bright and pure, followed him on white horses. From his mouth issues a sharp, two-edged sword with which to smite the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron." Then in verse 19 it says, "And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse and against his army." Just imagine this vision of our Lord Jesus Christ as the conquering hero. He is called the Word of God. He is on a great white horse. Now, I don't know if any of you are horsemen out there other than Marie. You're a horse lady. But my daughter loves horses. We get to go see horses sometimes. And some of them are really massive animals. And even a little tiny girl sitting atop a very high horse is intimidating. She is towering over me. Now, if I can just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sitting atop a white horse from heaven, this is even that exponentially more, right? And he is in a robe dipped in blood. From his mouth is issuing a sharp sword. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, written upon his robe, upon his thigh. This is the God whom we serve and we worship. But when you see this vision, you might just think, how could I ever approach such a one as he? Because it's intimidating enough for me to see a little 7-year-old girl atop a big palomino. Maybe not, I'm not scared of her, but it's tall. But here we have the King of Heaven, and with whom all power exists. And I'm reminded of the story of C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, where these two little girls are going to see the king, Aslan, the lion. And they wonder whether it's really safe to go meet a lion. And they ask their friends, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who say to them, "Oh, it's not safe to see the lion. I mean, he's not safe, but he is good." And our Lord is the same way. He's not safe, you see. He is the conquering king. He can do whatever he wants, but you can take comfort today because he is good. And he gives us a great vision today. That seeks to encourage us as his people to come unto him even though he is so great and high and intimidating of a hero upon his horse. And the way he does this is by riding a different animal today, by riding a donkey in our gospel lesson. Let's just take a look there for a moment at Matthew 21. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me.'" And you all know the story. Don't have to repeat it here. Jesus sits upon them and rides them into Jerusalem with palm branches strewn before him, the great triumphal entry of the king into Jerusalem to make war on sin, death, and the devil. But how does God, do you think, encourage us today Why did he choose a donkey? What is God's great purpose in this? How does he want to encourage his people today to come to him in prayer and to come to him in spirit by means of this image of this donkey? Well, this image of this donkey is fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy by Zechariah, who wrote about 500 or so years before Christ. And there, let's look at this Old Testament, and let's see how God will encourage you by the donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the first thing I see here is, why did God choose the donkey? Why do you think he chose such a lowly beast of burden? I believe it's because, just what it says here, he comes humble and riding on an ass, the colt, the foal of an ass. Humble. That word, I looked it up just a few moments ago in Hebrew, can mean humble, gentle, of the lowest sort on a social class. And so God, if you think of him, is so great and mighty you would not dare to go before this kind of a conquering hero, seated so high upon a white horse. But he bids you come to him by this image of the donkey, which he rides. He says he comes in a lowly, a humble way. God makes himself accessible to you. And if he makes himself accessible, he wants you to come to him. That's why he appears in a humble manner. But also, secondly, he comes to show us peace. For this is what it says also in this passage. He says, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. You find this a little ironic? Here is a man on a donkey who says he will destroy all the war horses with chariots. Just imagine the setup between these two. A little man, unarmed, indefensible, so it would appear, on not only a donkey, but the foal of a donkey. A little one, a young one, which we also know has never been ridden upon by anyone else, the other scriptures tell us. And here he's going to destroy all of his enemies, all the war horses, all the chariots on this little one. And he comes to bring peace, which is another encouragement of our Lord riding on the donkey. That he doesn't only want you to come to him because he is humble and gently and lowly in heart, but also because when he rides in on this donkey, it's to you a symbol of peace. Now, the Romans in those days would also have their processions, their mighty triumphal entries on their conquering days. And have you ever heard of this? When Caesar would enter into, or any of the Titus, or any of the Roman emperors would return from battle, they would come into Rome with a great festal array. And this is the way it would look. First of all, they would enter in through the Porta Triumphalis, which is the gate of triumph, kind of like the Arc de Triomphe in France, in Paris. They would enter through that. First come the senators with their guards. Then a whole mass of trumpeters would follow. Then there would be the carts with the spoils of war that they despoiled the enemy of. Then following them would be a number of white bulls that were to be sacrificed. And then there would be carts full of the arms and weapons of their conquered enemies. Next would follow the enemy leaders. Just imagine people like Goering and Gestapo leaders all marching out there conquered in chains. Next would come guards of the great conquering commander with laurel wreaths on their spears. And then finally would be the conquering hero in a chariot with four horses drawing him and following him would be his sons and his high officers. Think of what a beautiful, powerful image this would be. Why then does the Lord, who comes to do a greater battle, ride in on a donkey? You'd think it'd be at least better than the Romans. But what it says here in 1 Kings chapter 1 will give us a clue about that. It says, when King Solomon was to be made king, King David said, call to me the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah. So they came before the king, and the king said, take the servants of the Lord and cause Solomon, my son, to ride on my own, what do you think? Horse? War horse? Mule. Donkey, basically. And bring him down to Gihon, and then let him be anointed king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon, and he shall sit upon my throne and be king in my stead. So, the biblical tradition then is the king of peace is to come riding on a donkey, not on a war horse. It's sort of like George Bush coming to Cape Canaveral. Does he come in a tank? Then he means war against you. If he comes in a limousine, he is coming as a messenger of peace. And so Jesus comes humble and lowly, saying, come unto me, all you who are lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And also he comes to bring peace, peace commanding to the nations. But then, finally, don't let this idea that he comes to bring peace, and the idea that he is lowly, make you think that he is impotent or not powerful. For what else does this prophecy say? He says, lo, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and riding on an ass. Jesus comes like the best of the best, conquering hero, white horse, power, and yet riding on a little donkey. But what he came to bring, what he came to do, for which he set his face like flint, was to rescue you, to destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, to destroy the power of sin, to do all this in a lowly and humble way, therefore making a mockery of all the world's strength. For God's weakness is stronger than men, as Paul says in Corinthians. And as it says in Hebrews 2, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. And so Jesus' purpose was to destroy death. And therefore, in Ephesians chapter 3, the end result of that is, Paul, he says, this was according to the eternal purpose which he's realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through our faith in him. And so what does the donkey teach us today? The donkey teaches us that our Lord desires to be known by you. He desires to make himself accessible to you in a lowly way. He encourages you by saying, although he is great and mighty, and although he is not safe, he is good. And he has come to bring you peace and ultimately righteousness and salvation. Yes, Revelation 19, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And as he comes, we rejoice and shout, O daughter of Zion, for lo, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen.